Sequoia presents Class of 79.
What's the matter, sweetheart? Why aren't you sleeping?
I had a bad dream. A scary bad dream.
What was the dream about, honey?
I'm afraid to tell you.
Why?
The dream doesn't want me to.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to Class of 79 on the Fangoria Podcast Network, where we take you behind the scenes of our favorite movies that turned 40 this year. I'm Natasha Pacetta, your host and vanguard of The Vault over here at Fangoria, and this is our series on David Cronenberg's The Brood. Our first guest is Cindy Hines. Cindy played Candace Carveth, the little girl at the center of this truly messed up family drama. Cindy talks about working with David Cronenberg and Oliver Reed, the scenes that were cut, the stolen cast and crew present, working with Christopher Walken on The Dead Zone, and much more. Before we get to Cindy's stories, I want to tell you about the new Fangoria.com. Fangoria.com is now live and brimming with the digital horror content you crave. Fangoria.com is your first destination for all the horror news of the day, featuring a constant curation of the Fango team's favorite links from across the internet. They're taking the time to aggregate the most important news in horror in one space to save you time and sanity. You'll also find long-form pieces, deep dives, and daily thoughts from the biggest names in horror, as well as exclusive access to the Fangoria Vault. And right now, all current subscribers to the magazine are automatically members of Fangoria.com, and as promised, the content of the new issues will forever be print only. If you're not already a subscriber, check out the new Fangoria.com for yourself and see the horror right before your eyes. Use promo code CLASSOF for 15% off right now. That's Fangoria.com. And I want to tell you about Deadly Grounds, my favorite coffee. Don't be a zombie. Fuel up for life with Deadly Grounds. You're not going to get through the day or the next zombie apocalypse, quite frankly, with just your average cup of joe. Seasonal faves are back right now. They have pumpkin spice and Devil's Night, which is my favorite. I'm obsessed with it right now. It's pumpkin spice and chocolate and coffee all in the same bag. It is glorious. Deadly Grounds coffee is literally to die for, by horror fans, for horror fans. Get your fix at getdeadly.com. Now let's get to Cindy's stories from the making of The Brood. Let's start from the beginning. So you were the star of David Cronenberg's The Brood. You played Candace Carveth. Let's start at your audition. What was your audition for this movie like?
Well, it was rather shy. I actually had to have a couple of auditions for it. So I did the initial and then had a callback. And at the callback, David was there. And I read a little bit with him. And then he asked me to scream. And so I did, you know, a scream, but not a scream. Because I'm like, you know, I'm in a little room and I'm, you know, not going to. And he said, is that the best you got? And I said, no, I don't want to get into trouble. And he said, no, I need you to scream as loud as you can possibly scream. Like, so I let her rip and, you know, that was, you know, kind of finished off the audition, went home. And then later on that night, I got the phone call that I was offered the role.
You know, how old were you? You were like five?
I was eight.
You were eight.
I was 8 years old, but I was playing a 5 year old, and that's how tiny. I still am tiny, but, yes. So I was actually, 8 years old, but I was playing a 5 year old in the movie.
Isn't that the cool thing about movies where you're like a little kid and you're afraid, like, you know, in a normal situation, your mom or dad would be like, hey, stop screaming your head off. But in the movie, yeah. That's perfectly
okay. Give me more.
Right. Yeah. Wow, that's so cool. And so obviously you're 8 years old and your parents, I'm sure, are with you. What did they think when they first read the script? And did they know who David Cronenberg was? And had they seen any of his work yet?
My mom knew a little bit of his work, but not too much. You know, he was just coming into his own too. And it was really my mom and me doing the movie and stuff, and her looking after everything. But I know when she read it, she certainly had, you know, concerns about, you know, the violence and things like that, but understood it and talked to me about it. And I think just being a little bit older, you know, I wasn't five. So, you know, there's a big difference between a five-year-old and an eight-year-old. Right. So I got it. I understood what was going on. And I was comfortable, you know, I was just comfortable knowing that mom was going to be there, and then comfortable with everybody else that was there too.
This movie deals with a lot of serious issues, you know, divorce and custody battle and just all the crazy things that go with that.
Yep.
As a child, Did you understand what was going on in the movie?
The scenes pertaining to myself, like when Art was giving me the bath and then I had the bites and the marks and those things, I absolutely understood what the intention was of that scene. I knew exactly what was going on. And then the other thing, and it was funny because somebody had commented that, you know, what a clever girl I was to figure it out, because in the scene with Nola Fitzgerald, my grandmother, when we're looking through the photos, and there's a picture of what's supposed to be my mother and grandmother in the hospital. My mother's in the bed. Mm. And she's explaining to me that she had these things happen and stuff. It was actually a photo of me and her dressed up. But I knew from those scenes and those talking, them saying she was in the hospital, and then the alcohol, without anybody directly telling me, I knew that there was something to do with the mother being really mean and her being in the hospital a lot. Like, I knew there wasn't something right there. Wow. I just couldn't put my finger on it until I was older.
Wow, that's still really intuitive as a child to, you know, kind of make that surface connection that, you know, there's something is not right with the adults in the story. Yep. And it's really like you as Candy are, you know, you're the only one who is, you know, logical and actually like, you know, having to face all of these adult situations in an adult way. Like, I feel like the parents and the grandparents are the children in the story, and they're behaving badly, and they, you know, don't know how to deal with their emotions. And you're kind of this, you know, quiet, strong force in the storm of bad adult behavior. I'd love to know, like, when you were acting in these, you know, situations, did you have something in the back of your mind? Were you playing a narrative for yourself for that character? Or was there an inspiration behind your, you know, your quiet, you know, strong force?
I was always known as a very quiet, serious young girl. I think probably from coming into the acting world so young too, you know, following direction and behaving. And I always enjoyed following the rules and not getting into trouble, so to speak, you know, being the good girl. But not necessarily, not that I care to get into it much, but did not have the happiest home life. So I actually had, you know, a whole bunch to be able to draw from for seriousness and sadness and that kind of stuff. So it was, you know, it's unfortunate at that age to have, to be able to play that part based on experience. But it absolutely helped, and it helped for all the other roles that I did in the other movies as well.
Wow, yeah, and we'll get into it in a second, but, you know, you worked on The Dead Zone with Cronenberg as well after this. You know, talking about Cronenberg, what was it like working with him on set, and what was his directing style with a child? You know, that's always a tough thing to do for a director. Tell us a little bit about your relationship with him on The Brood.
He is, I just absolutely adore the man, the way he treated me. I felt, as I said before, safe. He was always checking to make sure I was okay. Did I need anything? Did I want anything? You know, buying me little gifts and getting me little treats and talking to me about things and making sure I was laughing a lot. You know, with everything being so, so serious. You know, and he was taking me up to, you know, use the cameras and make the films and making jokes, and just, you know, he was just absolutely wonderful. He was a dad. Aww. You know, he was my dad on set, aside from our, I had quite a few dads on set. I was very fortunate, you know, to have, you know, there was David, Art was fantastic, and Mark Irwin, the cameraman, is another one that I just absolutely think of with much adoration when I think about filming that movie.
Wow, that's so great to hear. And yeah, there's so many wonderful people involved in this movie. You know, Samantha Eggert and Oliver Reed, and the special effects, even with Jack Young, who did the special effects on the Munchkins on Wizard of Oz. He did the effects for this movie too. Well, what was your experience working with Jack?
I didn't really have to do too much, because really, you know, a lot of makeup was done by normal people. And then the little effects that were done on me were pretty basic at the end with the bumps and stuff.
Right,
so, you know, I didn't have to go through all that heavy duty. Yeah, I didn't have to go through that heavy duty stuff, but, you know, I was absolutely enamored, you know, watching all these things be constructed and so in awe, and the respect that I had for even like the gymnastics club, the little girls and having to put on all that crap for hours and hours. They had to sit there doing that. And I got to jump around and play. And, you know, you was just like, wow, you guys are so, that would suck. I would hate that. Oh my God. But they were just all so troopers about it. You know, I had the fun part. I got splattered with blood and little things like that. So, but I think it was so funny though, because after filming for like years later, I was like always practicing trying to make little broodlings and little growths and little things with different stuff. Right?
Oh, wow.
And I was always thinking, hey, maybe they should get in special effects.
Oh, so it definitely like made a lasting impression. I guess when you're around at an early age and you're seeing all these, you know, you're witnessing the movie magic that, you know.
Oh, it's incredible.
That's
yeah.
So
and
cool.
I still have such a wacky, passionate love for all of that stuff. Like nobody would know it now because I'm such a businesswoman, but when you come in and look and see the stuff that I have, it's very dark and that kind of stuff. They're like, where the heck did this come from? Oh, wow, my past. Well, I guess you know me.
Yeah, you know, like my two movies with David Cronenberg.
You blame him.
Yeah, we'll blame David for your dark passions.
Yeah.
Wow, so the clones of yourself in the movie, they were played by a gymnastic team?
Yeah.
That's so fun.
So you had Felix and Johnny as the two main ones that were doing the murder scenes and the killings and all that kind of stuff. But then they hired the Mississauga Gymnastics Club, so a bunch of the girls there. So that was such fun days on set when they were there. So I finally had some camaraderie, right? Some girls my age and getting up to some shenanigans and stuff. But it was great. It was great because I was actually also living in Mississauga at the time myself. So it was nice.
Oh, that's wonderful. Because, you know, sometimes when kids get together on set, it could go one or two ways. You know, it could be like, oh, there's the star girl. And, you know, we're not like in it, you know, we don't see our face. But it's so creepy when you put, you know, all of those little candies together. And then at the end, when they tear Oliver Reed apart in front of you. what was filming that scene like in particular?
I'd have to say that I wasn't sure if I could do it good enough. The fear, the look, the terror, that kind of stuff, backing away and everything. You know, is doing it. I remember thinking that, oh, I'm going to suck and it's not going to, you know, and then actually looking at it now, go, oh, it's not too bad. them coming after me through the door and the pounding and the banging, and after a while of screaming and stuff, that actually started to build up some anxiety. And after a while, I was like, okay, I need to take a bit of a break. And, you know, but they were so sweet. You know, they were getting me hot lemon and honey to try and soothe my throat. And are you sure you want to do more? Yes, give me a minute to rest. And we do a few more. But that I'd have to say, was the only trying scene. And that was just because it was also physical because of the screaming and everything too. But I was never afraid. But when you get into the character, you can become emotional, right?
Oh, yeah,
so
definitely.
That's more of what it was, you know. But as soon as that's what my mom tells everybody, you know, she's standing behind the camera watching her baby girl scream and scream and cry and cry, and all of a sudden David goes, cut. I'm like, okay, is that enough? And I'm like, oh my God, you know, and it was really great entertainment. As a kid, right? As a kid, out of the mouth of babes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that must have been, like you said, exhausting because, you know, you don't just do a take, you know, one take and it's done most of the time.
Yep.
It's a lot. And I'm sure for a kid to, you know, be able to keep that up and keep the same amount of, you know, focus and, you know, pretend fear, that is very draining. But I'm glad to hear that everyone, you know, gave you room to be like, okay, I'm tired, and like get you some tea. That's just so great.
And everybody works so well. Is really, that's that whole scene too with Oliver Reed and all the broodlings happened very, very late in a very cold winter's night. And you know, and Oliver was very much on the, let's, you know, these kids need to get to bed. Let's get this done. Come on, let's get a move on. We're not going to keep doing this. And so there really was, you know, a lot of concern by everybody of trying to keep things going for the kids.
Wow, that is so great to hear. And about Oliver Reed, what I mean, such a legend. What was it like working with him?
did not get to spend near enough time with him. And man, oh man, do I wish I had been older, right? Just to understand and appreciate that it was Oliver Reed.
Right.
But he was absolutely lovely. He was like, you know, your grandpa. He was just so fun. And I've got some really fantastic photos of me and him where he's making jokes, shoving a gun in my ribs. And, you know, he'll be completely inappropriate nowadays. Funnier than heck now, right? But you know, so I'm laughing as he's got a gun pointed to my ribs. And it's just awesome, right? I mean, who's got that photo?
I know, that's pretty great. I mean, that's a priceless treasure right there.
You know, absolutely. And he was, and even with, you know, I can, and it's bizarre, the more you talk about it, it brings back the memories. But I do remember him trying to get the kids, because the kids were tired. He's like, no, jump on me. It's okay. Because he's a big man. And he's like, I can hold you. And he's holding on to the kids. And he's saying, don't worry, you're not going to hurt me. And he was just, you know, coaching everybody too. And he was great with the kids. He really was.
That's so amazing to hear. Oh, he is like such a great actor. I love him in Tommy. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorite movies. So just to talk to someone who spent some time with him, that's so cool. I did read somewhere that Oliver Reed stole a crew present from your mom, though.
Her bottle. So we had all had gifts given to us and stuff like that. Yeah, and so somebody saw it last in his hand heading up to his room. So my mom thought that was quite a riot, and they're like, oh, we'll get you. And she's like, no way, that's, you know, that's a better story to be able to tell.
Right.
So,
that's,
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have any other memories from the set that you just, you know, hold dear, or that you'll always remember for the rest of your life, that you'd like to share with the audience?
I think just, you know, the kindness, especially being a young child coming in, and you hope it's still the same. And I do believe, because actors like Art Hindle and Susan Hogan and directors like David Cronenberg, you know, they're still out there. So there's still some really great things going on for kids in the industry. And I believe that, and I'm happy to hear that things are getting better. But I do know that my experience on The Brood was a blessed one. You know, from some of the stories that I've seen and heard, and then, you know, witnessed from travels with my own daughter who's done some things, that I was in every situation, every movie I made, every TV set I was on. My mother was a great support there on set to make sure I was taken care of, but everybody always seemed to make sure there was safety, food, warmth, coverage, all that kind of stuff, and respect and kindness. And then every actor or actress that I worked with were just so kind, you know, and it might have helped that I was just a calm, serious kind of child. You know, I wasn't rambunctious or rowdy, and I followed the rules, and I was, you know, proud of what I was doing, and I really enjoyed it, that I, you know, could get along well with them. And it was just, you know, I guess a mutual respect of between old and young in acting, and it worked. You know, I had a wonderful 10 years.
That's so amazing, and such a great thing just to hear, and just to know that you had such a great time on set, because you are the star of that movie. And I think, you know, people really remember your performance, even though you were only 8 years old. It's still like a stirring, you're like the calm in the storm in that movie that brings everything together. I just love to know, like, what did you think of when you saw the movie in its entirety for the first time?
I thought it was fantastic. And actually, the wonderful thing is David did a private screening for Elijah and I. Elijah's the young boy who runs down the hill. They're killing Miss Mayor. They're killing Miss Mayor. He actually did an interview with David at the TIFF event that was going on. But they were good friends with his family. So David arranged a private screening for us, and popcorn and the pop and everything else. And I can just remember sitting there with my mouth wide open, looking at this thing going, this is the coolest thing ever. Oh, my God. But then on the second thought going, what happened to all my lines? They cut all my lines.
Oh,
and that's kind of what happened in the movie. So not that I wasn't still quite a bit in it, but there was a lot of really juicy stuff cut out and a lot of dialogue cut out, which I was like, oh, interesting. And, You know, I never had the courage to ask David why, but someday, maybe someday I will.
Wow.
You know, but there was other things that went on that I was like, wow. Although I absolutely loved it, I thought it was fantastic, and I was so excited that it, you know, it came out, and then it was re-released again. But I had always wondered about, you know, certain little things of why they were done that way or left out or not put in. And
it's always a mystery. Like, once you wrap a movie, if you're like an actor or part of the crew, then it goes into post-production, and it's, it sometimes turns out completely different than what you experienced, you know, and what you thought it was going to end up like. But wow, that's interesting.
So I don't know if any of it was due to censorship and things like that at the time too. I know that was a very big thing of trying to get the ratings and things like that for it. It was very difficult between, you know, the swearing and the blood and everything else. But
Can you give us an example of some of the darker things maybe that you had to say or lines that you remember saying?
There was way more dialogue between the grandmother and myself in that scene just before she was killed.
Mm.
And while she is being beaten, they actually had me crumpling up the photo I was looking at and punching my head and rubbing my head and being angry when the Birdlings were killing the grandmother. There was dialogue, more dialogue between the teacher and myself and Dad. And when the Birdlings were killing the teacher, they had me outside pounding the walls and blood coming down off my hands that I was pounding them so hard.
Oh, wow.
And all those things to make it into the movie, although, which I thought was really kind of cool and stuff. But they, you know, took a different turn. They didn't want, I guess, maybe show that closeness. Maybe, you know, you changed direction. I don't really know, actually. Again, it'll be one of those things. I'll have to be, hey, David, we need to have lunch. I have questions. but you know, like little things like that. You know, a few more tender moments between Dad and I. Just things like that.
The Brood was your first time working with David, and then you worked with him again on The Dead Zone. And what was that process like? Did David just love your performance from The Brood and give you a call and be like, hey, I want you to come in on this?
That's exactly, you know, and I'm like, gosh, where could I be now if I had to suck it out with David? But he initially called me for the very first little girl in the fire, the nurse. Mm. You know, when Christopher Walken grabs the nurse's hand and that girl in the fire, that's who he wanted me for. That's the role.
Oh.
So when I walked into the room, and it's been a couple of years since he's seen me, and I walked in the room, and he went, hey, you so good to see you. Oh, no, you grew up. So I was a little bit too big, but he turned around and ended up offering me the student position, which in turn ended up having me sitting across the table from Christopher Walken. So yes, please. I think I got lucky. I go to sit across from Christopher Walken and burn in a house fire any day. Thank you. So truth be told, and then fun would not get so fun would happen. But you know, there's always a story with my life. We were living in Belleville at the time. My mother remarried. And we were living in Belleville and had to drive across to Niagara-on-the-Lake where it was being filmed. And we had stopped just outside of Port Hope to get some food. Had the new puppy in tow. It was going to be a great weekend. And it was pouring rain. We ran into the restaurant. My stepfather forgot the keys and our car was stolen along with our new puppy on the way to the filming of Dead Zone.
Oh, my God.
So grandfather to the rescue comes and gets us up and, you know, we let the studio know what happened, and so they put off my day of shooting and we get there the next day, but they had gifts for me.
Aww.
Like it was just the most beautiful thing, and we ended up just find the car, and a few weeks later they found the puppy, and everything ended up being cool and handy dandy. But it was just crazy how that all went down, and I was just so moved when I got there that everybody was just like, I'm so sorry, Cindy, and your puppy, and are you okay? It was just wonderful. And then even, you know, I got her out set, so then I've got all the main actors and actresses coming up, so then I felt pretty damn special.
Aww, you know? That is so great.
I know there was a lot of issues with filming Dead Zone, but my experience with it was all fun and fantastic. I mean, I didn't have any real interaction with Christopher Walken except at that table. It was very short and very quick. But hey,
hey,
I touched his hand.
You've worked with some heavy hitters, you know, Christopher Walken, David Cronenberg, Oliver Reed. I think that's a pretty good batting average right there.
I've known Jack Palance and Henry Winkler. I've been blessed. Absolutely. And I can certainly appreciate it as a grown up now.
That is so fantastic, Cindy. And yeah, so you eventually shifted from acting and are now mm-hmm. in real estate, right?
Yeah.
And so what was that decision like? Why did you decide to, shift away from acting?
To get out. just a change in life, actually. At the point of my life where I had been shifted around a lot, and then again, without getting into anything, not necessarily the ideal upbringing for anybody, I chose mm-hmm. to move out on my own at 17. And so although I have always had a love of the arts and everything else, I knew, so started working full time, ended up putting myself through college in hospitality, 3 years of college, and did all that, worked in restaurants and hotels, and then actually by fluke ended up moving over into manufacturing. And I was sales and marketing and customer service for a manufacturer for 14 years until I met my husband, who was in real estate. And then we kind of just shifted together. And, I have a special needs son. And, we've got all these wonderful things going on, but it just kind of coming into the real estate suited. And then a number of years ago, I actually opened up a very large restaurant in our community because we didn't have one. Mm. I have since sold it off, thankfully, to get some time back on my plate. But I'm very active in my community where I am. I love it. But, just trying to get the kids through school, and then we'll go on to the next step and see what happens.
Wow. Well, I think that's wonderful. And have you showed your movies to your kids? And was that something that they were like, whoa, Mom?
Yeah, my daughter in particular, she had the itch even before she knew what I did to do some of the stuff. So she thought it was pretty cool. My son, Aiden, who's special needs, I can maybe show him a Littlest Hobo, but he would not do well with seeing any of Mummy's horror movies. So wouldn't do well. So we'll keep those ones away, but absolutely. And I had always kept it pretty quiet and under wraps, actually, until Chris Alexander scouted me out a few years ago when it was coming out on Blu-ray and found me, and then my secret was out of the bag. And he was like, you did what? Okay, I just looked up your name. Is that true?
Yeah, leave it to Chris to do that. Mm-hmm. Chris is great. Yeah. And I think he put together the alumni panel at Shockstock a couple years ago?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. Yep.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, no, Chris is great.
It blows my mind. I mean, it was such an honor, but I didn't realize, what an honor until I was really thrown in it. And just another quick, funny story. My daughter is doing some acting, and she had an audition. So I wanted to run her in and show her where TIFF was because she hadn't seen the building before. Mm. She ran off to the washroom. I went to grab a program, and I picked it up, and it's me. It's a photo of me on it because it's when the David Cronenberg exhibition. I was like, what the? And I'm like literally standing there, like looking around all these people going, that's football. What is going on here? I have no idea. And we're talking 35 years later, right? And I'm like, what the heck? And then I found out, and I was just like, it was just remarkable. It was just, that many years ago to be part of something that means so much to so many people. Huge. I'm glad I'm old enough to appreciate it.
That's
and amazing. Around to appreciate it.
That's amazing, Cindy. And wow, like that's so cool that you have all of those memories, and people really do appreciate your work. And, with The Brood, we're 40 years in now, and it's still being talked about. It's still being analyzed. People still hold that movie very dear to them, and you're a part of that. And I have one more question for you, Cindy. It's our class of 79 extra credit question. If you could go back in time 40 years, what advice would you give yourself?
To keep going, because it is going to get better.
Great advice. Well, Cindy, thank you so much for taking the time today to chat with me about your memories from The Brood. What an incredible moment in time. I loved hearing all of your stories, and I know our audience will too. So thank you so much, Cindy.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Your Grandpa Barton took this picture.
Tell him the rest of the story that goes with the picture. Why was Mommy in the hospital so much?
Well,
someday she would wake up and she would be covered with big, ugly bumps.
Thanks for listening to Fangoria Presents Class of 79. We really appreciate you tuning in. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, we'd love it if you would rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or on your favorite podcast app. And follow Fangoria on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for the horror content you crave. Class of 79 is a Fangoria Podcast Network original, produced and hosted by Natasha Pacetta, executive producers Dallas Sonier and Phil Nobile Jr., associate producer Jessica Safavamer, art and design by Ashley Detmering, sound recording, design, and mixing by Natasha Pacetta, music by James Malone, for Fangoria, Brandon Wynerdy, Jason Koslerich, Rachel Wilson, and special thanks to Udo Kier.